everything's so freaking competitive in this world. And if you have a personal brand, something that you're known for, a network of people that will support you and vouch for you, like, that is invaluable.
Hey Girl Gazers, it's your host Taylor, and welcome back to season 4 of Girl Gaze Podcast. Level up your career and tap into your full potential one episode at a time. From editors and entrepreneurs to fashion designers and influencers, Girl Gazer guests share inspiring stories and insights related to career, mindset, wellness, and fashion. Every Wednesday, we'll either catch up in a solo episode or I will be joined by some of the most amazing people within my network. Make sure you are subscribed to Girl Gaze Podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you never miss an episode. And if you are a fan of the podcast, it would mean so much to me if you would leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, you can leave a 5-star rating. Keep in touch on Instagram and TikTok at Taylor Bradford and at Girl Gaze Pod. Today, I am joined by 23-year-old Piper Phillips. She is currently pursuing her content creation side hustle while working a full-time job at a startup. She is killing it. We dive into why it's important to have a personal brand, how to even build an online identity if you don't know where to start, how she landed her marketing director job just a few months after graduating, the power of affirmations, and so much more. So if you are looking for personal branding and networking tips, this is the episode for you. I am so excited to finally release this episode. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Girl Gazer Piper.
Hi, Piper.
Hello.
So excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So let's kick things off with a little introduction.
For sure. My name's Piper Phillips. I'm a New York City-based content creator focusing on network, business, and confidence tips. And I'm also director of marketing for True, which is a venture-backed functional beverage brand.
Amazing. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Indiana University. So
fun.
Originally, yeah, it was fun. It was great. I did their undergrad business program there. And then originally from suburbs of Chicago, Illinois, and moved to New York about 11 months ago.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that you're under a year. You're almost at your yearversary.
Yes, I know, I'm excited. I wanna like celebrate it.
You're like a little baby in the city.
I'm a baby New Yorker.
I'm coming up on my 4th year living in the city, actually.
Did it fly by?
Crazy, yes.
Okay.
I like to say, I feel like I'm graduating from my undergrad of living in New York now.
I love that. I get what they say about like the whole like, oh, a New York minute. Like, yeah, the way that time passes here is crazy, but I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. So I want to quickly chat about how we know each other.
Yes, let's do it.
Thank you, TikTok, first of all.
The best opportunity giver ever, and I'm sure we'll dive into that later, yeah. But thank you, TikTok.
So yes. I always like to start things off with a gaze of the week, which is a thought or realization that you have been reflecting on recently.
Yes, so we'll dive right in, get a little deep, but I have been thinking about recently the concept of comparison, because I feel like on social media, obviously, that is the easiest place to get into a spiral of negative comparison, comparing yourself and your life to other people. Mm-hmm. And I actually recently invested in a coach, so a career coach, a life coach, and that has been an awesome investment. But something that we talked about was this idea of when you see someone like on social media doing something that you wanna do, living the life that you wanna do, maybe it's a job or it's a boyfriend or it's a travel, seeing that, and it's quite normal to have that instinct reaction of like jealousy, like, oh, why does she have that and I want that? It's actually like a practice that you can get in of turning that around and making yourself be like, I'm so happy for her that she has that. And wow, this is so cool to see that model, because now I know that it's possible for me too.
I love that.
So that's been on my mind all week. And that kind of just that realization really hit home. Yeah. And it's kind of changed my life, honestly.
It's all about your perspective and having that mindset shift to focus on the good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, we know this, but women are so easily pitted against each other to view other successful women as competitors. Mm-hmm. And that, it's not the case. We're not doing that anymore.
No. So let's jump right in. I want to start our conversation off by talking about personal brands. You and I both have a presence on TikTok. I am curious why you think it's important to have a personal brand.
Ooh, okay. This was the life-changing moment for me. So my junior year of college, I read this book called Known by Mark Schaefer, who my professor recommended it to me. And that like literally changed my life because it was all about developing your personal brand and being known in your industry. So it wasn't even really about being like an influencer or a content creator at all, but it was about differentiating yourself in a competitive world and a competitive job market. So that book like completely opened my eyes, and I think literally the next week was when I started posting on TikTok after I read it.
What year was this?
Okay, so that was 2021.
Okay.
And then I honestly took like 8 months off from posting or working on my personal brand, quote unquote, at all, which is a bummer. But that was really what put the seed into my head. And so I think it's important because, as we know, like everything is so freaking competitive in this world. And if you have a personal brand, something that you're known for, a network of people that will support you and vouch for you, like that is invaluable.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I feel like having a personal brand is almost like a public portfolio. So like no matter how many followers you have, and it's a huge plus when you are applying to jobs as well.
Oh my God, I feel like something that's a goal of mine when I was developing my personal brand is I was like, I don't want anyone ever to ask for my resume again. Like, I want my public profile.
Yeah, I have my TikTok linked on my resume.
Yes, I love that.
So you started to post on TikTok in 2021. How would you describe your personal brand?
So in the beginning, I would have, if you would have asked me in 2021, it would have been LinkedIn advice and business networking advice. Period.
Same.
So, really? Yours too?
Yes.
Okay.
When I first hopped on TikTok, it was all career advice. And we'll talk about the evolution because I ended up having like an identity crisis online.
Yes.
But yeah, my first TikTok that went viral was my resume.
Wow.
And then my cover letter. Oh, I was like, this is the resume that got me interviews at blah, blah, blah.
Wait, literally same. My cover letter, what was the first video that got over a million views?
Yeah, so crazy. Oh my gosh.
But the way I would describe it now is... Also, I still do some business advice, but I would say it's how to thrive in New York City in your career, so professionally and also personally. So networking advice, career advice, confidence building, and then just like sharing my story too. I'm sure you probably feel this way also. When you're focusing on one niche on social media, it gets exhausting because I realized I'm posting about like 1/10 of my personality, and that's not fun. And so lately I've expanded it to also be like more vulnerable sharing.
Yeah. I love your TikTok. I feel like it's very well-rounded, and I think that's kind of a challenge that I'm trying to overcome right now because I don't want to totally shift away from career because I do have a lot of career advice to give, and also this whole podcast is very career oriented, although it has also evolved over time. But I'd say right now my personal brand on TikTok is very like inspirational, motivational.
Yes.
I'm trying to get back into talking videos.
It's a journey.
It is such a journey. What do you think are the key elements to building an effective personal brand and online identity?
I would say work backwards. Mm. So start, ideally, pretend if you want to be a speaker or if you are applying for jobs or if you want to be a consultant. What would people say about the ideal version like of Piper, of Taylor? Like what do you want to be described as? What do you want to be known for? So I think that's the most important thing when starting out. That and also taking a hard look at yourself of what am I inherently good at? Like I remember in that book I was telling you about, one of the exercises was think about what you think makes you special, write it down, and then ask the people who know you really well. Like, hey, like when you think of me, like what are some things that come to mind? What are some things that, you know, you think I'm good at? And start there.
Let's talk a little bit about monetization.
So let me just say first that I have done like collabs with like Princess Polly, Venus of Fleur, you know, clothes, makeup, that kind of thing. But if we're talking strategic monetization, the things that have been the most lucrative for me are niche and specific to my business content. So it's software companies that are maybe don't sound super sexy, but they have the deep pockets.
Hell yeah.
Or it's products that genuinely help you in business. Like I've done some collabs with some AI tools that genuinely make your life so much easier, and I feel like people should know about them. Also another specific one was like actually a business coach, like a coaching program that was all about goal setting and productivity and motivation. So that was another program that I felt very aligned to, you know, endorse.
Are these brands reaching out to you? Are you reaching out to them?
Everything I have done is them coming to me.
Amazing.
For the most
part. Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you. Thanks.
Were you ever scared of being judged by people before you started to post?
Yes.
How'd you get over that fear?
I started, so I was still at Indiana at IU, and no one like did that there. Like, that wasn't cool. And so I think it felt safer to me to just post business stuff because it was, like, not about my own life.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, moving to New York was a game changer because I feel like here it's not only accepted, but it's encouraged to be creative and have a creative outlet or a side hustle. And then that coupled with this realization that people are going to talk about you no matter what. People are always going to have something to say. And it's like, it's none of your business what someone from your high school thinks of you.
What has been the coolest opportunity you've gotten through social media? Can we talk about the summer I turned pretty?
Yes, we can talk about that. That was so cool. That was really cool.
Did they reach out to you?
Yes. Very I got cool. this like email in my inbox and I was like, they sent this to the wrong person. And it was from the PR agency inviting me to the season two like premiere cast party of what did, Summer I Turned Pretty.
What did you think like the minute that you got that email?
Oh, like holy shit. Like I was like, oh my God. Like seeing, cause it was hosted by Amazon Prime and Teen Vogue and like seeing that in my inbox was just so exciting.
And validating.
And validating and it's hard because you don't want to have to rely on external things for validation, right? Like, I'm really big about that. But at the same time, I was so excited about it, not just because it was a cool thing or whatever, but because I hadn't really had that many, like, viral videos at that time. And I'm not, and I don't really post about TV shows or I don't post about fashion. So the thought that someone, like, thought that about my content was validating of, like, okay.
You're doing something right.
I'm doing something right.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was just really, really fun. Like, I think I had the most fun of anyone there. Like, we stayed till the end and, like, danced the entire time. So it was
really fun.
Yeah.
How do you go about networking at these events? Do you ever get nervous?
Ooh, no. I don't get nervous, honestly.
Good.
Because I think about them differently. I feel like a big networking misconception is, like, this, like, buttoned up, like, I'm going in, like, gonna be uber formal. Like, please, God, no. Like, do not. That was me, like, probably in college. Like, everyone falls victim to that. But since being in New York, I've realized you have to, like, adjust the way that you carry yourself based on the venue, right? Mm-hmm. And based on your audience. So there have been times where I am going to more formal, like, cocktail hours, like, hosted by, like, more serious businesses. And I know that that is gonna maybe be more of, like, your typical networking event where I'm gonna be a little bit more professional, quote unquote. I'm gonna like introduce myself, maybe shake some hands. Like that is what you think of when you think of like official networking. But a lot of these events, like PR parties and brand events, like that is networking too.
Yep.
Especially if you're trying to build your personal brand and post content. But I think it's better to not think of it that way because if it's a social event and you go into it and you think of it as this networking event and you put pressure on yourself to talk to people and make connections, you're just gonna come off like you're trying too hard,
yeah,
to put it simply. So I think it's better to think of networking at these events as relationship building rather than being transactional of like, I need to meet someone. Because there has been a couple times where I go into events and I'm like, okay, I really wanna meet someone in this industry. And it doesn't really happen when you put the pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
So
I know you like psych yourself out then.
Yes, you psych yourself out and it's just I feel like people have this outdated notion of like what networking actually is. Mm-hmm. And it's not the buttoned up person in a suit like shaking your hand anymore.
Yep. And I also think another big thing when it comes to networking at events is confidence.
Yes.
And like even if you are not feeling like the most confident version of yourself in that moment, fake it till you freaking make it.
Yes.
Put on an outfit that makes you feel really good. Walk in, yes. Put your shoulders back. Take a drink if you need to. Mm-hmm. I know I typically do.
Yes, I do too most of the time. But.
And I think like as you continue to go to events, which is, it's just an amazing opportunity to go to events and connect with other creators, is like everyone is feeling the same way, right?
Yes. And I've read a bunch of things about this topic because I think it's very fascinating. The places you stand, for example, in a room and the energy you emit, those things are all connected. So if you're feeling nervous, like force yourself into the middle of the room. Go to the bar, go to the bathroom if you need. For girls, I feel like that's a very social thing because you're standing next to each other in line. Like that's how I meet people.
True.
But for the love of God, do not stand at the edge of the room because you're never gonna meet people that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, it's like, put yourself out there.
Yes, I feel like going into it with that energy of like, opportunity is waiting for me everywhere I go. It's magical.
I love that affirmation. I'm very big on affirmations.
Are you? Right, I was going to ask. Okay.
I've been using my journal. Beautiful journal. It was gifted. The Met Museum did a collaboration with Papier.
Oh my gosh.
And I've been using it like literally every single day. And I actually fell off of it for a couple of weeks. I noticed that it took like definitely a toll on my mindset. And I think your mindset is so crucial to lead to success, to lead to happiness. So I definitely agree with you. Like, even if you have to in the Uber over there, speak out loud, speak to yourself, or like write it down in your notes. Like, I am confident, I am worthy, I am going to make amazing connections. And you will, like, watch that unfold in real life.
I'm so glad you're into this too, because that is seriously so important. And I feel like a lot of people are very close-minded in that sense, where they're like, does that really work? Yes, it really works. Like, I have been every morning and every night, actually, recently listening to affirmations like over a music track when I go to bed. And that has also improved my mood so much.
Is that like on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. Type in like affirmation subliminal track and it's like 5 hours of like positive stuff going into your subconscious.
Wow. I love that. Wasn't even planning about talking about manifestation and mindset with you, but like,
it's hard to avoid it because it's so connected to these topics.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. I also wanted to talk about, you recently spoke on a panel. Mm-hmm. How did that come to be?
There were two panels I spoke on in the same week, so that was exciting.
Busy girl.
Yeah, thank you. One of them was really cool. It was, well, both of them were really cool, but one of them was on a rooftop in the Lower East Side, and it was about social media and building your personal brand. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was with an awesome organization, UWIB, United Women in Business, and it was about pursuing your passion and paycheck. For the second one, they did such a good job of curating. I think there were five panelists total, mm-hmm. all women that had different types of day jobs. So one of them was in finance full time, one of them was in tech, the other was in media, and then everyone also had some kind of side hustle. Like, so for me and one other woman, it was our personal brand, like having LLCs and monetizing those. A couple other women had a CPG or beauty businesses. So it was all about the concept of like balance, like how do you do both? How do you feed your creative side, but also, you know, raking that money when possible.
Going off of that, how do you do both?
Oh my gosh.
How do you balance everything?
I feel like there's a misconception that balance or work-life balance is 50-50. It's not. There are some weeks where I've stayed up till like literally 1:45 in the morning before like our board meeting, getting our quarterly reports done for True. And then there have been other weeks where like every single night of the week I have something related to content creation, so I'm not working that much, for mm-hmm. example, outside of my normal hours for True. Things ebb and flow.
Yeah.
Being at a virtual company, I'm really lucky, and being at a startup, it's really flexible. So everyone kind of trusts each other to get their job done.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's really important if you have a side hustle and a day job to find one that allows you to do that. What was your experience like with balance?
In terms of my podcast, it's just making sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna go out this night, I'm gonna edit my podcast episode instead. But at the end of the day, I think side hustles really allow you to level up your personal and professional growth. Yes. And like, even with my podcast, I've gotten to connect with so many incredible women and just like learning from different people, but then also putting these inspirational conversations out into the world and then seeing the response from different listeners is like what keeps me going, because yes. doing the podcast is so much work. I am the producer, I'm the host, I'm the guest outreach person, I'm the social media manager, the editor, like
a lot.
The everything. Yes. So it's definitely a challenge to balance it all, but I think just when you have that innate drive mm-hmm. and belief in yourself that you can do it, and when you like visualize that goal,
you
just
do
like
it.
Just do the damn thing and like make a list of everything that you have to do, cross things off, and make progress. If it's taking time, it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Or if you can't see the results yet, that doesn't mean it's not
yes.
happening.
Yes, although I will say, don't hold on to things for too long. You don't need everything to be perfect. And I think starting this podcast has definitely helped me with my perfectionism.
Yes.
Because These are like really intimate conversations with guests, and it's okay to not be perfectly spoken in every single sentence. And
that'd be boring.
I feel like right now I'm definitely focusing on prioritizing my mental and physical health, which is like a huge part of making sure that you are equipped with all of the things that you need to do your job and your side hustle. I went to a meditation class last night, which was so necessary, and I feel just my energy.
Isn't that so great? Like investing in yourself in that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because before I started to take meditation classes, it's a sound meditation class.
Interesting.
And it's for an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And before that, I had really never meditated before, and I was like, I don't think I can sit through this class
with
for
my
an entire hour.
Alone.
Oh, let me tell you, I can freaking do it, and it feels so amazing.
Oh my god.
So anyway, you have to come to a class.
I want to. That's awesome.
Let's jump back to the beginning of your post-grad journey and walk me through how you landed your current position at True.
Yes. So I, being the perfectionist overachiever, we seem to have that in common, that I am. So I was at a position where I could have graduated early. So that's kind of the beginning of the story. And I made the decision of, do I want to do that? I don't know why I want to rush this process. So I decided, no, I'm going to stick out this program with the normal length, but I'm just going to start working part-time and finding different opportunities to do that. So in college, I did a couple of internships throughout the summer. I was at a tech startup. I was at Victoria's Secret. And then I also was working part-time with the administrative office of my university.
You were doing so many things.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. And then my senior year, I was working part-time while finishing up my credits at the marketing affiliate of a late-stage investment fund, which I was not planning on going in that direction or industry, but it was one of the things that just kind of fell into my lap, gave me really good, well-rounded, like, understanding of startup world and some deeper financial knowledge. I was dealing with like multimillionaire and billionaire investors. It was crazy.
Wow.
But I decided when I graduated that I didn't want to continue that. So for half a year or so, I was doing some freelance stuff, just doing TikTok and continuing that job that I was doing throughout school. And then I just all of a sudden one day woke up and was like, I want to work at a startup. Want it to be creative and analytical. I want it to be something that I actually care about. And I just floated it out to my network. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna tell people that I am looking for a job at a cool startup where I can, you know, flex my creative and analytical muscles. And someone who I only met on a Zoom call one time from LinkedIn put me in an intro email to the founder of True, to Jack, and we had two calls and I was hired a month later.
Absolutely incredible, and shows again the power of a LinkedIn DM. Truly
is crazy.
Like, yeah
I mean, this was like someone, I call him now, he lives in New York, I'm like, you're my New York angel, because he was connected me to True. I mean, when I think about it, all the big opportunities in my life have genuinely come from networking and from relationships rather than cold applying.
Same with me.
You
absolutely
too?
Absolutely, yes. My very first job out of college, I worked at the New York Post and Alexa. And Alexa is what I like to call the fashion insert within the New York Post.
Okay.
So we essentially operated like a fashion magazine. I was a fashion assistant and fashion writer. I applied online, and then I did the little LinkedIn trick where I looked at Syracuse alumni who worked at the New York Post. Floated some DMs out to like three people. One person got back to me, hopped on a quick call with her. She passed my resume along.
Love it.
Got the interview. I think it was like a couple of rounds. This is 2019, so I guess interviews were a little different then because it was all in person and everyone was in 5 days a week at that time, which seems crazy to me that I even did that. Wow. Yeah, and then also in college, I started a campus magazine, print and digital. And so right when I graduated, every single interview or informational interview that I went to, I had a copy of my magazine. So I was like, here's my resume and my magazine.
Love that.
And that's like pretty much the reason why I got hired for that, because
for showing rather than telling, you mean like bringing that portfolio?
Yeah.
So important. That's actually so funny you say that, because I had a similar thing with True. So I had a first call initial with a couple people, and then it was a second call with one of the other co-founders and the rest of the team. In between that, they sent me some product to try, because I was like, I obviously want to make sure I like the product
before
I market it. And I was at home at my parents' house, and I was filming a video about networking, and I was holding a True and sipping on a True. And that video ended up getting like 2 million views.
Wait, I love.
And so the wife of the CEO and founder like literally sent it to him. And he sent it to me and was like very impressed with the commitment. And because she didn't know at the time that like they were interviewing me, like they were just like, who's this random girl? That video got like a million views. So yes, my advice is always like, if you're applying for something, what can you do to make yourself stand out? Mm-hmm. Whether that's bringing examples of your past work or literally like already doing work for the company you want to work for.
Yep.
I think that's a sneaky little trick.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like?
Mm-hmm. Day-to-day at a startup is literally never the same.
Yeah.
But my position is director of marketing. We're a team of about 11 right now. So I manage our overall marketing strategy, primarily focused on driving our online sales. Mm-hmm. So we sell mostly in stores, but we're also on Amazon and at drinktrue.com. So I manage different agencies to run our paid advertising, so that's like Meta, Google, Walmart.com, our different affiliate channels. And then I also do the TikTok. And then I also manage a marketing coordinator who she executes the email and SMS marketing and the Instagram.
I think that's probably the best part about working at a startup is that you're exposed to so many different parts of the business and it's really like sink or swim. And obviously we're both the type of people where sinking is not an option. Like
nope.
We will always swim.
Yeah.
And you're learning so much that now I feel like this is going to be like a huge launching pad into the future of wherever your career takes you.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's important to also just stay open-minded about what type of company you want to work at and like interview at a bunch of different places and see what sparks your interest and take networking calls with people who have different backgrounds.
I would say that's a big one, the informational interview. And I feel like I definitely will want to make sure that I meet a bunch of people that I actually will be working with day-to-day before accepting a job because it makes or breaks your whole experience.
I agree.
I know some of my friends like do not have that experience and it can literally like, make your life horrible. If every day you're dealing with people who aren't good people, I feel like we forget that sometimes because it's like, oh, it's so good to have this company name on your resume. And it's like, this is literally your life. Like think about if this is how you want to spend, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours of your week.
If your mental health is being affected by the job that you have, you have to do what's best for you, even if you don't have something else lined up.
Yeah.
I did that and it was an amazing opportunity. I mean, I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge part of my portfolio as well. So I'm eternally grateful. It was a very hard decision for myself to make, but I ended up quitting with no other plan. Of course, everything ended up working out as it always does. Yes, everything is working out better than you can ever imagine. Even if at a certain point in time, you don't feel like that. And even last night when I was at this meditation class, I did a love meditation where I envisioned that version of myself when I had just quit that job and I just sent her all the love and light.
I wanna cry.
And yeah, I just feel like sometimes like you're so close to certain situations where it's very hard to like take a step back and realize like, I'm young, like there's so much time to do everything. And even though this doesn't work out, like something else will. And just like having that faith that it'll be okay. Like you can rise up from anything, always.
Oh my God, that was beautiful. That was so well said.
Aww.
And I feel like when you're in it, it feels like it's never ending and it feels like it's the biggest thing in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But I actually had a cool experience. We were in Boston for a work trip a couple weeks ago and I was talking to one of the people on my team. And he was talking about a really hard point in his career. And I was listening to that and I was like, oh my God, that sounds literally so awful and so horrible. And it was like a year or whatever of your life. But it's so funny, like now you're able to be so removed from it and talk about it 20 years later. And you have this hindsight of like 2020. But I just felt so like bad for him because I was like, when you were in that must have been horrible. Mm-hmm. But then hearing that, you know, 15, 20 years later, it all came full circle and it made you a better person, X, Y, and Z, all that lovely inspirational stuff.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know, I feel like it's empowering to hear those stories. And that always helps me when I'm in a bad time. I think of all the people and all the experiences in my life that have been bad that then make you stronger.
Yeah.
Make you a better person.
Ooh, let's talk about a fun project that you've spearheaded at True.
Super fun, but I was actually kind of scheming. I was starting to build True up in New York before I even got here.
Wow.
So last summer, I got the job in August, and another amazing woman who I met on TikTok, two amazing women actually, that I was in touch with, both of them reached out to me about events they were having in New York and potentially collaborating with me / with True, which is crazy because I had literally just posted that I got the job. Like, I didn't even have day one yet.
Yeah.
But one of them was Elizabeth, who has founded Absence of Proof, which is a non-alcoholic event curation. And so her first event, we had a bunch of True there. So that was like our launch into New York.
Amazing.
Like into the non-alcoholic scene. And I remember that was just such a big moment for me because it was literally like the week that I moved to New York City. Same week, 2 days later, was New York Fashion Week. And another amazing woman, Chloe, who I met through TikTok, was telling me about an event she was having with Christian Cohen and his fashion show and pre-show events in this like $50 million penthouse in Soho. And she was like, I think your guys' beauty drinks like would be perfect there. Would you want to have them there? I'm like, yes. Yeah, so that was a really, really cool project. And both of those just have like a fond place in my heart because they were like the first week that I started.
That is a crazy first week in New York. And also such like a great opportunity for networking.
Yes.
Again.
Oh my God.
I also had a crazy first week in New York too.
Ooh, do tell.
It was the first week of Fashion Week. And my boss emailed me right before I started my job and said, I'm gonna send you to the Moncler Genius event at their flagship store, and you are going to interview the three designers. And then you have to write the story the next day because it will be printed in the New York Post the next week. And I was like, okay.
That was before you started.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Baby 22-year-old Taylor.
Oh my God.
Like not even knowing what to wear and never gone to Fashion Week before that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I remember I had like a little notebook that had all my questions and brought my phone and as I was interviewing these designers.
Was it video or written?
Written.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually have the article on my desk. It is.
That's what that is?
Yeah, that's my first print article ever. It's like my first really big milestone in the industry. I came home that night, transcribed the interviews and wrote the article, submitted it the next day, it was in print the next week, and it was just so crazy, especially, so the New York Post still has print, which is very rare. I feel like there's not a lot of newspapers anymore other than the New York Times. And so you actually get like a proof of your story before it goes live. And I just like remember seeing it and it's just like big, it's the size of a newspaper.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like a whole page. Like this is insane. So that was my first week. Oh, and then I went to other fashion shows and sat front row because my bosses didn't want to go to certain things.
Which I now totally get, right? Like the first time I feel like you're like, this is amazing. I want to go to everything. And then you're kind of like, oh wait, this is really exhausting.
It's exhausting to run around. But at that point I was like, oh, I want to go to
everything. Yes.
This is like pre-TikTok. This is September 2019.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was like still the era of the blogger, I would say.
Interesting.
Wow. And yeah, I mean, the influencer world has definitely changed a lot since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like your first week in New York is always just
it
the
should
craziest.
Be. It sets the tone, I feel like. And honestly, I'm like still in my yes era, I will say.
I love that for
you. Because I still have been here under a year. And I feel like I'm really good about like listening to myself. If I don't want to go to something at the end of the day and it's not like I have to for some contractual reason, I have no problem being like, no, I just don't feel like this. So I'm very much a yes girl if it feels like aligned with me. There's always another opportunity. There's always another event. There's always another job in this city. Like there's always the next thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is next for you, Piper?
Oh, that was such a good transition.
It was.
I am really in the phase of growing my personal brand right now about me. Like that sounds so funny to say, but
I think personal arcs are so important. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no.
It reminds me when I had a networking call with a producer at Dear Media, and she told me that personal arcs are so important.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
Because your personal arc is your specific POV. It's what sets you apart from everyone else. People are following you for you. So like, what is your distinction?
I love that. That is exactly.
And that's why I have like personal or solo episodes as well.
Yeah, so people can actually get to know you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is what's next for me. Like I'm fully leaning into the sharing what's on my mind, sharing more opinions of mine. Yeah. I feel like I was constraining myself in this box for so long of I have to only post business advice. So I'm being honest and I'm sharing more about my life and I'm leaning into that curve into my celebrity energy, yes. which everyone should. Love it.
Awesome. So before we head out, I always like to end things with a gaze goal of the week, mm-hmm. which is more focused on like the life balance part of work-life balance. So cool. just a realistic self-care goal for the week.
My goal for the week is to take 20 minutes at one point. Does not, it's not going to be every day because that's unrealistic, but I want to take 20 minutes. I want to put on my meditation music. I want to light a candle and I want to like journal, like future self journal.
Oh, I love. Yeah.
So I want to do some manifestation journaling.
Mm. Honestly, same.
Yeah.
I think my goal, I love the future self journals where you write it in the present tense,
yes,
right? As if it
exactly.
has already happened. I think that's going to be my
okay.
goal as well.
I'm going to check in with you in 5 days. I'm going to be yes. like, what are you doing?
Perfect. Well, Piper, this has been so amazing to connect with you finally in person. Yes. We'll have to hang out again after this.
Please, please.
And I can't wait for everyone to hear your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did, it would mean so much to me if you would leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts or just a 5-star review on Spotify. Take a screenshot, post it on your Instagram stories, tag me, message me your thoughts. As a reminder, I'm going to try my best to release episodes every Wednesday. I will speak with you all very soon. And until then, keep killing it, Girl Gazer.